Welcome to the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where each week we simplify the complexities of your leadership journey.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast, where we aim to give you critical and easily applicable leadership concepts to help you along your journey. I'm your co-host, Scott, and I have the privilege of talking about life and leadership with the owner and founder of Rising Tide Leadership, Dr. Michael David Morales, a.k.a. Mo.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? Good to be here, man. It's been a while. Let's do it.
Let's get after it. So one of the great movie franchises that has come out over the probably last 10 to 15 years has been the Marvel movie franchise. Now, I understand that it is still going, inevitably, but for many of us, that first kind of saga is the defining factor of Marvel. And one of the movies kind of within that first saga is titled Civil War. And it deals really directly with what we're going to talk about today. So in that movie, kind of in the beginning, it kind of sparks off this really kind of story and or plot line where you have the superheroes, you know, combating evil forces. And I should say this ahead of time that this is not a spoiler by any means. But you've got the superhero team. They're battling these evil forces. And unfortunately, there is some collateral damage. And this leads to kind of really the key conflict within the movie where you have some individuals who want to hold, themselves a little bit more accountable, have a little bit more oversight. And you've got the opposite from a separate group of superheroes who really don't want any sort of accountability at all. And naturally, each side thinks they are right, which inevitably happens, which breaks the team apart. And this leads to rivalries. This leads to friendly fire. It leads to confrontations and ultimately a disbanding of the actual team itself. And both sides understood that accountability is important, but both sides also couldn't comprehend really that dichotomy of each extreme end of accountability. And like real world, right? A lack of accountability can lead to that failure. And accountability is paramount to good leadership. And today we're going to break it down into three key actions to kind of help our listeners and our leaders understand why each one is essential in being accountable to their people. So Mo, let's go ahead and start with our first point today.
Yeah, thanks, Scotty. And man, always good openings and good stories. And that's what I love about these kind of movies is that it's sometimes about good and evil, and sometimes it's just about being accountable. And I think for all of our listeners out there, if you are in a position of leadership, that means you have people to whom you are accountable, not the other way around necessarily. We always think that the people that are reporting to us, they are accountable to us, and they are. But we're really accountable, to take care of them. And so the first point today, Scott, is this. The first point is leaders need to lead by example. Now, that might be a shocker, right? One of the most simple actions that you can do is to lead by example. And leading by example is the foundation of accountability. Because when leaders model the behavior that they expect to get from their team, that sets a powerful standard. So think of Nehemiah for those who have read the Old Testament in the Bible, right? In Nehemiah chapter 4, there's a ton of opposition going on, but Nehemiah himself made himself accountable to God first, and then he told the people that they needed to be accountable as well for the work that they were supposed to be doing. And so his, meaning Nehemiah's resolute commitment, rallied others and it enabled them to really kind of overcome the impossible.
Yeah, that's a really great example to start off with. So then how does leading by example help build accountability?
So when you lead by example, you create a culture of trust. And we talk about trust a lot on our podcast. Your team sees that you're just not talking the talk, but you're actually walking the walk. And this trust, Scott, is going to foster collaboration, which we're going to be talking about in a podcast coming up, because your people know that they can count on you to uphold the same standards that you set for them.
Yeah, 100%. We talk about trust all the time and just what such a critical component that it is. And without it, I mean, it's one of the many things or one of those core elements that team it'll just fall apart.
Yeah, it really will. And so trust, Scott, is the glue right, that makes everyone successful together. So when leaders are personally accountable for the promises that they make, they show that they can be trusted. And believe me, it's much more important for you to be trusted by your team than the other way around, because you can just go and get another person. If you don't trust them, you can get rid of them off your team. But if somebody that you're leading doesn't trust you, they just can't fire you because you're the supervisor, you're the boss. So you have to be trusted by your team. So this in turn is going to motivate your team to want to be accountable. And so for our listeners out there, if you haven't already read it, you need to pick up a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, A Leadership Fable. And it's by Patrick Lencioni. Fantastic book. And I do a lot of consulting, and this is one of the main books that I take teams through. There's a lot of great insights in the story that's told by Lencioni. Like it says, the fable itself kind of takes you through a story and then talks about actions after that, about why it's important to have these five pillars if you want to have a functional team as opposed to being dysfunctional, right? So the reason that I bring this up is because trust is that first principle covered in the book. And essentially, if teams cannot get the trust thing figured out, then there's no way they're going to even be able to go anywhere, because that first building block isn't there to build upon.
Mm. So then can you share kind of maybe a like more practical way that our leaders can lead by example?
Yeah, sure. One practical way is by admitting your mistakes. And so leaders, I know that you don't like to admit your mistakes. I don't like to admit my mistakes. But the more you lead and the higher you go, the more you're going to make mistakes. And so when leaders own up to their own errors, it shows humility and a willingness to learn. So leaders out there listening, are you practicing humility? Are you willing to learn? Because this sets the precedent for the team to do the same. They're going to start owning up and saying, hey, I messed that one up. And it's really going to create an environment where everyone feels safe to be honest and accountable. And people aren't going to be afraid to say, man, I messed up, thinking that they're going to get fired or canned or whatever. So how many leaders who are out there just trying to never be wrong? You can't live your life like that. You can't live trying not to fail. You need to learn. You need to live more trying to succeed. So what your team needs from you is that attitude. They need a transparency from you when you mess things up. And it's funny how, you know, a lot of politicians, right, won't take responsibility for anything. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. But if we all lived by, you know, the good old President Truman, the buck stops here, Scott, how much better would we be as a society?
I mean, significantly better. So, I mean, I just can't even imagine what it would look like for everyone to just naturally admit to their mistakes and ultimately really taking ownership for them.
Right.
And just how, you know, just thinking about that concept and thinking about, you know, whether it's politicians, whether it's leaders at your workplace, wherever it is, just thinking about how much that can actually just strengthen a team's bond. So, yeah, great point.
Yeah, and really, and it's not just politicians or like world leaders or whatever. Obviously, they've got the more you're responsible for and accountable for, the more you're going to mess up. So your people already know it. We're not dumb. Like when you're a kid, you kind of know when people screw up, right? It doesn't change as an adult. We just kind of decide to, you know, bury our heads in the sand. And so if you're a leader of even a few people, just know that people are going to know. So when you mess up, just own up to it, because when leaders demonstrate this, it really creates a strong bond, and really it creates an ethical situation, and people are going to be more dedicated to the cause because your actions speak louder than words, right? I mean, we've all heard that again since we were kids. And so your people are going to want to follow you if you act upon both your successes and your failures. So I want people to know that, you know, if you are on a journey, what are the expectations that you are setting for yourself? Because everybody's got around you is going to get better if you are willing to get better. Because like we say here at Rising Tide, a rising tide lifts all boats.
No, 100%. And so in essence, you just got to walk the talk. So your actions have to reflect your words, which seems so much like common sense, but something that I feel like we just often forget. So then what about, if we're kind of transitioning here a little bit, but what about setting expectations then for your team?
Yeah. And we'll get into that again in future podcasts, but I'll just say this, setting clear expectations is crucial because when you communicate what you expect from your team to hold themselves and that you're going to hold yourself to those same standards, it's really going to create a mutual understanding. And that's really what you want, a mutual understanding between you and your team. And this clarity is really going to help everybody stay aligned and be accountable.
Yeah, that's great. Just seems like that leading by example just really kind of sets that tone then for the entire team. So then, you know, any final things before we move to that point number two here?
Yeah, I'd just say, just remember that, you know, leading by example is really something that's contagious as it becomes a continuous effort on your part. So just get into it. Just be a little bit more transparent. You don't got to tell everybody all the stuff you mess up on, but just a little bit here and there, because by doing this, you're going to cultivate that culture of accountability, and it's going to drive success. But Scott, that leads actually to our second point today. And point two is this. Leaders, another action you need to do after leading by example is this. Leaders take responsibility. So you know, when you take responsibility, Scott, it's really about owning your actions and the outcomes, whether they're good or they're bad, right? It reinforces the need to be reliable and dependable. And you got to be both. Leaders, are you reliable? Are you dependable? Can people rely on you? Can they depend on you? Because when leaders take responsibility, they really show that they're committed to both their roles, the team's roles, and ultimately the team's success.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So then how does taking responsibility impact a leader's credibility?
Yeah, it significantly enhances credibility because when leaders consistently take responsibility for their actions, it builds trust and respect among their teams. And there's that word again, Scott, trust, right? They see you as someone who's dependable and trustworthy, and this strengthens your overall leadership.
Yeah, that's a great point. So then you have kind of more of like a practical example of what it would look like for like a leader to take responsibility.
I do. So imagine you're working on a project and it doesn't go as planned. I mean, how many of us have been part of a project? It doesn't go as planned, right? I mean, all the time. As Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? Then all of a sudden, everything goes out the window. But instead of blaming the team, a responsible leader will acknowledge their part in the failure, analyze what went wrong, and then take steps to rectify that. So this approach not only solves the problem, but also fosters a learning environment.
Yeah. So then, you know, we know leaders need to take that responsibility. So then how can leaders encourage their team in turn to then take responsibility?
So leaders can encourage their teams to take this responsibility by creating a safe space for open communication, right? That's what trust is about. And when team members feel safe to speak up about what they feel without fear of repercussions of any kind, they're more likely to own up to their own actions. So you just don't go into a situation at your workplace and expect that people are going to do what you want them to do, because they're not going to take any kind of responsibility at all if you just go in like that. Because if they don't feel like they're having their voices heard, then why would they want to take responsibility? If you don't give them a chance to say what they want to say or have their ideas heard or their voices heard, then you can't expect them to get behind you. And what I suggest to people is that, you know, they buy into John Maxwell, shocking, right? To John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, chapter 14, which is called The Law of the Buy-In. And if you've never read it, it will definitely change the way that you see leadership and the way that you need to take responsibility, because it says that people first buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. And so if you don't feel like your people are following you, it's because they probably haven't bought into who you are. And that's why you need to get the frustrations out of your work by spending quality time with people on an individual basis and on a team basis. And again, you know, it's not about yelling at your people and telling them what they did wrong and it's their fault. It's about accepting responsibility for the things that you can control and reinforcing positive behavior so that people do the same, because they're going to do things according to the way that you're portraying and setting that forth. So again, it comes back to you and what you are putting out for your team to follow.
So then positive reinforcement really can go a very, very long way then. And so what a great point. So then how else can our leaders foster that culture of responsibility? Are there any other ways that you can think of?
Yeah, they can foster a culture of responsibility by setting clear goals and expectations, right? Set it out, let your people know exactly what you want them to do. And so they have a blueprint. So every action that they take from then can say, am I moving towards that goal and expectation that my supervisor has set before me, the person that's leading our team? Because when everyone knows what's expected of them and they understand the impact of their work, they're more likely to take ownership of their tasks. So regular check-ins, feedback, these are just a couple of ways of helping keep your people on track.
Things that just seem so simple that sometimes just don't happen, and it really can lead to that chaos and failure. So if we're talking about trust, which we again talk about a whole lot, so then how does responsibility kind of tie back into that idea of trust?
Yeah. So when you are putting your people in a position to see you as being reliable, to lead the team well, when you are consistent in your actions and always putting forth your effort towards the outcomes, your team now can depend on you that, hey, my supervisor, man, he's doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing. They may not be doing everything right, but they're doing everything for the team so that we can get to where we need to go. And again, this is all about building a strong foundation, right? That's what trust is. And it's essential for effective teamwork and collaboration to happen.
Yeah, so it's almost like you're putting so much trust in your team that even when they do something wrong, you know that it was still them trying to put forth that effort into the overall mission and vision of the business or university, whatever it may be. So, man, that's a really good point. So, any kind of final thoughts before we head on to our final pointer today?
Yeah. So on this about taking responsibility, just remember this, leaders, taking responsibility is about being proactive rather than reactive. If you find yourself being reactive a lot, it means you got to do a little bit more homework and you got to do a little bit more on the front end so that you start getting in front of some of these things. So it's about anticipating challenges, addressing things head on. Because when you do this, you demonstrate your commitment to the team that you're going to achieve the collective goals, not for your good, but for the benefit of everybody.
Wow, that's great. And so moving into kind of that final point that we have today, our final point is holding others accountable. And so why is that, right? We're getting into kind of, you know, the podcast is about leaders being accountable. So holding others accountable, why is it so important in leadership?
Yeah, the reason, Scott, that this point number three, that leaders hold others accountable is so important and crucial is because it really ensures that everyone is contributing to the team's success. Everybody's got to be on board, right? Everybody's got to be bought in, right? The law of the buy-in. So it reinforces the standards and the expectations that we just talked about that were set by the leader or should be set by the leader, which are going to help maintain a high level of performance across the board.
So then how can leaders effectively hold others accountable without seeming, you know, too harsh or maybe seeming like they're micromanaging? How can leaders do that?
Yeah, really, Scott, it's all about the approach, right? Effective accountability comes from a place of support and encouragement rather than punishment, right? We don't want to be what's called a transactional leader, right? There's a bunch of different kinds of leaders that you can be. You don't want to be a transactional leader if you don't have to, meaning if you do this, here's the consequences. What you want to do, leaders, is become a transformational leader. Leaders should focus on constructive feedback and really transform their people, their companies, and really just the attitude of everybody, because it's support that's needed for the team to succeed. And really, there was a flag that my dad used to have as he was a social studies teacher, and it was a joke. I think one of the other social studies teachers gave it to him. And he put it up in his classroom, and it's like a skull and crossbones. It kind of looks like Pirates of the Caribbean kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just says, the beatings will continue until morale improves, right? And I think a lot of people do things like that. They just keep beating down their people. They're beating them up, man. Don't do that, leaders. You need to encourage your people. And if you feel like your people are doing what they're supposed to, go look in the mirror and think, man, what do I need to change so that I can be the kind of leader who gives the support needed for my team to succeed?
Yeah, that's great. So then can you maybe morph that into an example of how you can hold someone accountable in a positive way, just so our listeners and our leaders that are tuned in can have kind of that real world application, so to say?
Absolutely. So let's say a team member is consistently missing deadlines, right? We've all got that person on the team that misses deadlines, or maybe you're that person on the team that misses deadlines. Hopefully not as a leader, but let's just say you have somebody, right? Instead of reprimanding them over and over again, which seems so obviously not work because they are continually missing deadlines, a leader can give a one-on-one correction and really just kind of a conversation to understand the root cause of the issue. Because remember, we're at work and we're working with people, but when people go home, they got a lot of stuff going on. So there may be something going on that you can really help somebody either work through or get around. And you might be sitting out there thinking, Mo, I don't have time to be a psychologist, a psychiatrist. Well, I'm telling you this, you don't have time to be a leader, because that's what leaders do, right? We're here to work together and develop people, right? Leaders develop people. And so you can't develop a plan and improve anything until you help develop your people. So if you want to help that person get better time management, for instance, to meet future deadlines, you first need to get into that person's head. And you need to, well, one of my mentors tells me, you have to come from this side of the table to the other side of the table, so we're sitting on the same side and looking at the problem together. And I'm sure you're going to be shocked, right? But here's another book that I think people need to read. And I mentioned it before, but of course, it's worth mentioning again. And if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, here it is. Fierce Conversations. And this book by Susan Scott, Fierce Conversations, she talks about dealing with a ton of CEOs, right? Top level management people all around the world. And she says that one-on-one conversations are so important to have. And it's up to you as leader to get your people on the same page. You can't just tell people something in a group meeting and say, all right, go get it done, right? You have to follow up with more conversations and individual conversations, and then small group conversations, and then a bigger conversations again with all the people around you. So if you're getting frustrated listening to this right now and you're just thinking to yourself, look, I don't have time for all these conversations, then again, Scott, maybe you shouldn't be in the leadership position that you are. Is that too harsh?
No. I think that makes a whole lot of sense. So, right. Well, I mean, we talk about transformational leadership, and you can't transform anyone or anything if you don't have time to do it. And so, absolutely, you know, having time to have those fierce conversations, as Susan Scott calls them, so it's just so critical. And so I know you mentioned a little bit ago, you mentioned and talked a lot about feedback. And I know we just had a conversation about performance evals the other day. But what role really does feedback kind of play in holding others accountable?
Yeah, man, let me tell you, feedback is essential, right? Regular, honest feedback helps individuals understand their strengths and their areas of improvement. So when delivered constructively, feedback can motivate a team, motivate each of the members individually to take ownership for their performance and strive for excellence.
So then if we're continuing along that idea of feedback, so I know, you know, we talked about performance evals the other day, and those come in certain workplaces, they come on average probably once a year. And so is once a year really good enough for that feedback, or should we be looking at that completely different as leaders?
Yeah, I think once a year is great. I mean, your people, they're doing things. Nobody loves those things, right? But they are important. I mean, if you use them correctly, in the Army, we have a yearly officer evaluation review or report, an OER. And so we have to meet with our superiors and make sure we're doing the things that we are, because we need to get better. And so those evaluations are only as good as I want mine to be. So I put a lot of time into mine, right? And so the best leaders will do that for themselves and for their people. So feedback, Scott, is ongoing. Regular check-ins. Weekly, bi-weekly, I don't know. The lines of communication could be different, but they've got to be open, right? So whether that's Zoom calls or in person, if you can do things in person, it's always better, right? You know, sitting down over a cup of coffee or whatever. But that continuous feedback loop is going to help maintain accountability and drive a consistent improvement for each person.
Yeah, that's a great, that's an absolutely great point. So if I'm thinking about kind of workplaces, right, there's probably a lot of our listeners and our leaders that workplace is not, maybe it's not the norm, I should say, to have accountability put in place, whether it's from coworkers, whether it's from supervisors or administration, whatever it may be. So then how can our leaders and listeners really kind of help to create an environment where that accountability kind of becomes that norm?
Yeah, leaders can really create an environment of accountability, right? That's really what you want to do, make a part of your culture by setting, you know, a clear vision. You know, we talk about vision, action, and execution all the time. That's really what it's about. And so your people should be able to should be able to lead by example, be responsible, because that's what's going to let them hold others accountable. Until they've done the first two, it really doesn't matter. So, these are the things, Scott, that are interconnected. And by embodying that kind of accountability in your leadership, you as the leader create a ripple effect that influences your entire team. It builds a culture of trust, integrity, and just, you know, just makes everybody get better.
Well, it sounds, if we think back to what we've talked about today, right, all of our points tie together, you know, leading by example, then taking responsibility, and finally holding others accountable.
Yeah. So I'd just say this. My final thought, Scott, would be this. You know, leaders, you need to remember that you first are the one who is setting the tone of accountability. It's not about control. It's about empowerment. It's about empowering your people. By holding others accountable, you're helping them reach their full potential. And when they see that you're holding them accountable for their good and not for your good, and that you're doing it for the overall team success, that collaboration is going to make them want to work harder. And they're going to be not just accountable as an individual, but they're going to be accountable as a team.
What a great way to kind of finish out the podcast for today. So to all of our listeners and to all of our leaders out there, thank you so much for tuning into the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast. We'd ask that you guys don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, and then join us next time for more insights on becoming the leader who makes a difference. Until then, keep leading with purpose and with passion. We'll see you guys all next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rising Tide Leadership Podcast. Highlights and resource links are available for you in the show notes. We hope that you will join us next time as we continue on the leadership journey. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out, and share with others so they don't miss out. See you next time.